Good morning. Coming up on 910 on the Mighty 690, it is time for our monthly update from the Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club. And we have John Vest joining us this morning. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing today?
Hey, doing well. So, you know, we've got a big event coming up here today. Everyone's excited about the solar eclipse.
Yeah. That is a pretty good deal, though.
Have you seen one before?
Yes. Back in, when I was in school, I think it was like 1968. I was in grade school, and we watched it there at the grade school, Longfellow. And the way we watched it was cutting a hole in a piece of cardboard that and a paper that, and watched it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'd make a little projector like that. So that is definitely a way you can do it now. But, you know, people might not realize. Oh, Denise, you remember that? Yep. You remember doing that? Yep, that's great. That's great. Yep, that's fantastic. Some memories over there at Longfellow.
Yep.
But, you know, the thing is, people might not realize that the eclipse actually changes some of the radio waves, too.
Yes.
Because, so, the last eclipse, you know, the only one that I've seen was in 2017. We actually were up in the Tetons kind of area. We went up there to watch it to make sure we were kind of above everything. We'd have a clear sky and all that, and it worked out great. And the hope was to be able to kind of see the Terminator coming across that line where the eclipse happens. But the thing is, what I had is I had a little radio with me that could scan in AM radio stations. And what it would, and this was kind of my little science project, if you will, to see what would happen during the eclipse. Because we know at night, those radio signals propagate further.
Right.
And it actually was, it did hold true. So I started out, and you know, maybe I had like 17 stations that I could tune in. It would just hit a little button and it would scan through them and it would tell you how many there were. Mm-hmm. It got up into like the 40s during the eclipse. So there's going to be a lot of people around the country you know, doing some monitoring and that sort of thing. There's kind of a citizen science initiative within ham radio of people kind of monitoring the ionosphere during the eclipse to see what happens.
Right. And it's going to be interesting because I got a feeling that they're going to be able to talk a long way during the eclipse.
Yeah, yeah. So there's all sorts of crazy stuff that can happen radio-wise during that. And because the unique thing about it, especially, you know, during the night, we have AM stations, you know, will power down or they will change their pattern like we do. But no one will during the eclipse. So that's why it's a really unique opportunity because you have stations that are a higher power when it's quote-unquote, you know, nighttime situations in some way. And that does affect the way the ionosphere behaves. It's pretty wild.
And, you know, years ago, I remember listening to WLS out of Chicago late at night on the radio, on a transistor radio, when I was supposed to be going to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's back, you know, in the 60s. And you could pick them up perfectly at night. And they were not they weren't a clear channel radio, I don't believe.
I think they were back in then. They were 50 kilowatts day and night, I believe. But it's just a non-directional signal for WLS.
Yes.
But that's what happens is the during the day, the ionosphere, you know, that's a layer of the atmosphere, gets charged up. And it'll absorb during the day a lot of the radio waves, but at night it actually will start bouncing them. And so you're physically, you think like a satellite, you know, you're bouncing stuff off a satellite, comes back down. We just bounce it off this charged layer, the ionosphere, the atmosphere, and it'll bend back down. So of course, as amateurs, we do that all the time.
Yes.
But this is just going to be a really unique opportunity coming up at us here today with the eclipse. So looking forward to all of that. But anyway, here we're with John from the Amateur Radio Club, and we do have a meeting coming up tomorrow, and we have a guest speaker who is actually going to be here coming into town today. I twisted his arm a little bit, and it wasn't very hard. We have Vern Werka, who is the retired from K-State. He's a professor at K-State, but he has a lot of experience with Morse code, and so we're going to be talking all about that. He's going to be giving a presentation of Morse code for maybe someone who's never done it before, all the way up to people who maybe they haven't done it in a little while, or maybe they're experienced pros. And he's also going to be talking about the last Morse code station in the U.S., which is KPH there on the West Coast. And so that'll be a really interesting topic. And now, John, when you were first licensed, you probably had to pass that code test, right?
Yeah. The code test was something else. There's not a lot of people that could do it back then. It required a lot of different workings.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was not as easy as we have today. We have a lot of tools, actually, to learn Morse code these days, but not back in the day.
Yeah, and these days, you can learn it pretty easy by, you know, going onto the computer, and there are programs that you can sit there and learn it while you're, you know, it'll send it back to you and everything. I mean, it's pretty easy to learn it nowadays.
Well, and the thing is, too, there's no Morse code requirement anymore. So it used to be, you know, to get your license, you have to have Morse code. That's not the case anymore.
Right. And that's a good thing, because there's a lot of people that Morse code is hard for them. I mean, and sending and receiving, you know, 20, 30 words a minute, people are not that great anymore at it. And it's a dying art. It really is. There's less and less people that are doing Morse code nowadays than ever before.
Yeah, well, the weird thing is, during COVID, it's one of those things that actually really picked up as far as interest goes, because there are groups like the Long Island CW Club, which they have members all over the world, where they do a bunch of classes. I mean, I'm talking like 30 Zoom sessions a day on Morse code, and they have a lot of people who are interested in learning it. So there's a lot of really cool 21st century resources out there regarding Morse code. So that's coming up tomorrow, going to be 7 p.m., Coffeyville's Reawakening, 115 West 9th, in the Reawakening office. Best to park in the back, in that back lot, kind of, and go in the rear
door.
Entrance. Yep. But all are welcome. You don't have to be a club member, and we're going to start that right around 7 o'clock for that presentation. So hope everyone can come. It's going to be a neat opportunity. And then, John, this is like a really big week for us.
Yes.
Because we have Claremore coming up, the Green Country Ham Fest. Tell us about this.
It's a ham fest in which they don't just have radios. They have all sorts of stuff. They have crafts and things like that, too. But it's basically for, you know, ham radio operators. It is at their exposition center down there in Claremore. And it takes up the whole place. And there are tables upon tables upon tables of radio equipment, stuff like that. People go down there. All sorts of radio operators are down there. You go down there, and you'll probably know someone if you go down there. It is a time where you can buy stuff, or if you've got stuff you want to sell, you can also sell stuff if you want to. And you can learn all about ham radio. They have different classes going on during that time. They also give testing too down there if you wanted to take a test down there. And it is a big, it's one of the bigger ones in the United States.
Oh yeah, that is right. And I'm just looking here at the map. There's only a couple empty booths, so
yeah.
But they've got, so looks just like dozens and dozens and dozens of them that are filled up. So there's going to be a lot of stuff for sale. And of course, the Ham Fest here is going to be kicking off this Friday and Saturday, and it's going to be at the Claremore Expo Center. The ticket's $10 at the door, and it's just going to be a great time. Like you said, the door prizes are going to be fantastic, and then I also have a schedule here of some of the sessions. They're going to have VE testing starting on Friday, going from 6 until 8. They're going to have that available. Also Friday, they're going to have a presentation on the ARDEN, the Amateur Radio Emergency Digital Network. That's on Friday starting at 6. And they're going to have some kit building opportunities, weather spotting information from the National Weather Service, information on HF APERS, which is the kind of a packet system. They have an ARRL presentation. That's a National Association for Amateur Radio. And they're going to have something on M17, which I'm not familiar with that. So
either.
See, there's something that all of us can learn here. That's probably one of those new digital modes. They're going to have an ARES presentation there on Saturday, Amateur Radio Emergency Service. They're going to have the Oklahoma DX Association annual meeting, and then some more VE testing going on throughout the day. So really, Friday evening and then Saturday all day, there's going to be stuff. So I'm definitely planning on stopping by there both days. It's going to be a great time there at the Claremore Expo Center.
Yeah, I'm going to be there both days too, because the first day, you can get a lot of good deals on people that are just setting up and carrying stuff in, and they want to get rid of their stuff pretty quick. And on the second day, you can get good deals on people that don't want to carry it back out to their car.
Oh, yeah. No, if you get your timing right, then it's definitely worth it. Friday, it's open to the public from 4 until 9 p.m., which is great. Some fantastic hours there. And then Saturday, they're open 8 until 3. So you can stop by after work or school on Friday. And then Saturday, it's available for you 8 until 3. And it's just going to be a great time. This is, and honestly, we're pretty lucky here. This is one of the best hamfests, I mean, in Mid-America, I think. It's yes. It's really, really good. To have a two-day hamfest is great. And so, you know, if you're interested in learning more about ham radio, just come on down, check it out, and you can get to talk with people. There's lots of commercial vendors there as well, because it's not just people selling their used equipment. There's people with all sorts of new equipment as well there.
Yes, and like I said, it's not just ham equipment either. They have all sorts of crafts and stuff like that also.
Yeah, that is a great reminder there to be able to check all that out, and of course the prizes. So anyway, that is coming up here this Friday and Saturday, so we got a big week ahead. So that is some real excitement.
And M17 is a digital radio modulation mode.
Okay, so we got one of those digital modes there. So that's the cool thing. I mean, ham radio is all about learning new stuff too, and, you know, finding your little niche of the hobby. So whether or not you want to do CW, just do it like, you know, the radio pioneers did. You can do that. If you want to get on the latest digital modes where you're just typing things out to each other over the radio via computer, you can do that as well. So there's all sorts of different opportunities in addition. And then something that we're working on too, I know we're kind of testing our feet in the water here, is getting a little more Skywarn going here in southeast Kansas. So you want to explain a little bit more of what kind of this idea of Skywarn is, John?
Skywarn's where ham radio operators go out and watch the weather and report back into a central area, and which is usually like the radio station here, and let everybody know what's going on with the weather, whether, you know, the storm's going south of us, east of us, or going to hit us. And it's trying to help pinpoint any types of danger for the people of the community and get them out of the way of danger in case, you know, a tornado forms or even straight line winds or hail and stuff. I mean,
yeah. Well, and that's a great reminder, because, you know, the meteorologist can only see so much on the radar, especially when it's up, you know, 6,000, 9,000 feet here. You know, just anything below that, from the Wichita radar, anything below 9,000 feet in the Coffeyville area, they can't see. So they're going really heavily relying on these reports, and we always need more people, you know, who are interested. If you're interested in storm spotting, you know, if you got that interest, and maybe you're not licensed, that's okay. You can contact us here, and we can help you to get your license. That way you can participate. Because the reason we use ham radio for this is, you know, it's an efficient mode of communication, and then we're able to send that right into the National Weather Service. Oklahoma has a pretty well-organized Skywarn system. We're working to get something like that here in southeast Kansas. So we're chipping away at it. But anyway, CoffeevilleARC.org has a lot of contact information on that. And then, John, before we wrap up here, I did want to mention as well, you know, with the eclipse happening today, this is going to be a real-life test of amateur radio, especially in these areas of totality, because local Aries groups, amateur radio emergency services, that sort of thing, they're gearing up for some potential communications disruptions just because these cell networks in these areas are going to be pretty overloaded.
Right, and not only that, but they're down in Arkansas and all. I was watching a deal about that before I came up here, and the ham radio operators are helping all the emergency managements down in there with traffic reports, stuff like that. And they are in certain places in Arkansas and all, they're expecting 70,000 plus cars going to see this eclipse. And if it's like it was, you know, 2017, mm-hmm. there were miles and miles of traffic jams.
Oh, yeah.
And people, you know, needed medical attention in those traffic jams and stuff because, you know, there's people that have heart problems, stuff like that, that literally there was one person that had a heart attack, and he was like about half in the middle of this traffic jam in 2017, and a ham radio operator got a hold of the ambulance to get them there to him.
Wow. So, you know, that's a great reminder of what it can do when these communications infrastructures are not working, or maybe they're overloaded. And so I was in the ham radio club back in Central Arkansas in the Conway area, which they are in the path of totality. And 2 years ago, they were prepping for this thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is all hands on deck today. I've been in contact with some friends there in Central Arkansas. Some actually have been in contact via ham radio already. And so, people are just kind of hunkering down and waiting for all the craziness to pass, kind of prepping like it's a snowstorm. So, anyway, that's the ham radio is really going to be in action here today. We're going to be interested to hear how all that goes. So, a lot of exciting stuff. So, John, if anything we've talked about today has piqued anyone's interest, what's the best way to get a hold of you and learn more?
Well, they can call me at 620-515-0097. I answer the phone basically 24 hours a day. And they can text me or they can call me, and they can go to our website, our Facebook site, and get a hold of us that way, any one of us. And that's
GovulaARC.org.
For some reason, I keep wanting to give our old address that we used to have.
And then in addition to, if you just search for Coffeeville Amateur Radio Club on Facebook, you'll find there. And I want to once again remind everyone, we do have a meeting coming up. This is going to be tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Coffeeville's Reawakening on Ninth Street, downtown Coffeeville, just down from Hirsch's, 115 West 9th. And we have our special speaker talking about Morse code, and going to have that presentation for you. If you're at all interested here in, even from a historical perspective, maybe not necessarily interested in becoming a ham, but just want to take in the talk. Well, that's why we're doing it. So you can stop on by. So, John, appreciate you stopping on by here this morning.
I appreciate you guys having us on during the month so that we can get more people interested.
Absolutely, and we appreciate the donuts. So, all right. Well, hey, we got more open line coming up right after this here on KGGF.